Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. I'm so excited because I have Marilyn Huchek. She is an American Chilean pop singer, songwriter, and a good friend. So hi, Marilyn, how are you? And thank you so much for being on my show.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for having me. It is my honor and pleasure to be on the City Confessions. This is so exciting, and I'm so proud of you with everything you've done with it so far.
Thank you. And I can say the same for you. It's crazy because I think we met back in, 2016?
Yeah.
And then you kind of debuted your new, I don't want to say identity, but like you, this embarking on this new path of being a singer and songwriter.
Yeah. And I love that. It was a rebirth, I'd say. So like,
yes.
You're on it.
And I'm here for it. So why don't we start by having you introduce yourself to my listeners, and who is Marilyn Huchek?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, my name is Marilyn Huchek, and I am an emerging pop artist, singer, songwriter based in New York City and DC. And I just recently started my artist journey during the pandemic, and it's been absolutely amazing. I'm full time, so I'm giving it my all, and you can find my music on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you listen to music, my music's there. So
get to it. But let's dig deeper. How did your love for music start? And what was it about the moment with the pandemic that really made you think, okay, you know what? I'm going to go full force and really, really give it my all.
Yeah, sure. So I'll give some background. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a musical household, my mom playing multiple instruments, guitar, the flute, my father being a piano enthusiast. And then growing up, I always took voice lessons. I was in choir groups, through college, taking singing lessons, into my adult years, taking private voice lessons. So singing has always been a part of my life. And when I was younger, I used to songwrite before I even knew what songwriting was. I remember being like, if I was ever upset, if my parents were in a fight, I distinctly remember like going into my room, like crying on the floor, writing a song to make myself feel better. That was my therapy. But I didn't really think like anything of it as like a young child. Mm-hmm. But songwriting definitely came innate to me. And it wasn't until, okay, so then a few years back, I ended up auditioning for The Voice, like being a singer.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, being a singer, like, has always been my dream, right? Like shooting music videos with my friends, but where I grew up, I never thought that it was like an attainable thing for me. I didn't run in our like family circles and my networking circles, my friends, no one was ever in that industry. So I didn't have any connection to it. I didn't have any like real push to it. It was always kind of just me like fighting that dream alone. And I kept it very private, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised. Like, it was a good surprise, but I was like, I had no idea because we've hung out, we've met, we've seen each other. And that's why I was like, I didn't even know she sings.
Yeah. It was this big internal struggle, honestly, mm-hmm. that I didn't have the same confidence as I do now. I was definitely had some like self-conscious like thoughts and issues about it. And I auditioned for The Voice and I didn't even tell anyone. I didn't tell my closest friends. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell my boyfriend. Like that's how much of a struggle it was for me. Like admitting to someone that I wanted to be a pop artist and feeling like I cared too much about what the world thought. Like I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want people to think, well, like you're not good enough. Why are you auditioning? And it was just this internal struggle. And to the point where I literally told no one, but it was so passionate inside me that I was like, I need to do this for myself. So I auditioned for The Voice and I didn't make it. And then I told my family afterward, I'm like, hey, I'm at like the voice auditions. They're like, oh my God, why didn't you tell us? And I'm like, oh, I didn't make it. So like, it doesn't matter anyway. And after that point on, I literally gave up. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll have no regrets in my life. I'll put this lifelong dream to rest, put it in a bed, put it in a box, locked it away. And I never wanted to think about music again. And that's when I decided to pursue a career in the fashion industry. So yes, that's why I never talked about it.
Okay, so then let's go to the point where you did decide, you know what, I'm gonna give it another go.
Yeah, so I would say that when I was first auditioning, when I first auditioned for The Voice, at that time, I was in a place in my life where I was comparing myself to other artists, thinking I could never hit vocals like this person. I wasn't like writing my own music. I was singing other people's, I was singing covers. But then recently, as you mentioned, I rediscovered my passion for music, and it's one of those things that never left me. But during the pandemic, it was definitely an emotional whirlwind. My life was completely flipped upside down, as you know, many people's lives changed. I lost my job in New York City. I had to move back in with my family in DC. My dad, who had been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, now having Alzheimer's for more than a decade, was at the nursing home and caught COVID and was progressively getting worse and had to go to the hospital, and we weren't allowed to see him. So I thought I was going to lose my dad. Mm-hmm. And my world fell silent. Like nothing was happening. Not the hustle and bustle of New York City, not my boss breathing down my neck. I had nothing to do. All I had were these emotions of the world's ending, my dad's going to die, like I lost my job. And at that period in time in my life, music came to me, but came back to me in the most organic and natural way. And I started songwriting like crazy. Like I didn't even think about it. I was following my instincts and my gut and doing what felt natural. And I just started songwriting like crazy. Okay. So it was like, I'm writing songs, I'm singing. And then I dedicated a song to my dad. I wrote a song dedicated to him. And I thought to myself at that time, I need to do everything in my power to bring this song to life, no matter what. Like that was like my focus.
Wow.
So I was like, it doesn't even matter. Like I wasn't thinking all the steps that it takes, how hard is it going to be? Like, I was just like, I need to release this song for my dad. So I figured it out, as like humans do, you know, and I created a home studio in my house. I like partnered with a producer in Brooklyn. I released the song on to the world and all like distributing service platforms. And yeah, I debuted my first single, and my dad coincidentally recovered from COVID around the same time that I released my single. So it felt kind of like a magical thing. And I haven't looked back since. It felt like such a calling. Mm-hmm. And it also just felt so right. Like the missing puzzle piece. Like when I finally gave in to it, I was like, this is what I've been waiting for.
Oh my God. I'm smiling so hard because it's like, I love your story. I think it's so, so beautiful. And like, again, we don't know each other that well, but hearing it, I'm like, we have so many similarities, because I'm usually a private person as well. And when I wrote my book, nobody knew, like at all. Like I just was like, I'm gonna do it for me. Mm-hmm. And then I also feel like when you were saying the songwriting came really natural when in a dark place, I guess we can say, I also write when I'm going through like a painful moment, but I feel like that's the beauty of it. Like as artists and creative people, you use your pain and you change it to art. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, like obviously it's not, you know, ideal for you to go through that phase, but like, look at where you are now. So I would love to hear, you know, you were saying you didn't have any connections, you didn't know how to really make this come true, but then you figured it out. So how did you figure it out? Because like, what if somebody's listening and they have a dream of either becoming a singer or something along those lines, and they have no idea where to start? Like, what is your advice?
Yeah. Well, I think at a certain point, you just have to think about asking for help and putting it out there. because at the end of the day, you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. So I did have the courage to decide, okay, I'm going to do this. And from then on, you just start talking to people and you'd be surprised, like the universe just kind of has your back and people start helping and people start connecting you. And so it just kind of like word of mouth and friends of friends and thinking about, okay, who do I know that works in the music industry that I can talk to? And I was just having informational chats with everyone, just, and I learned that through when I started my fashion blog back in New York City and kind of got into like the influencer world. That was like a very much entrepreneurial profession. And so I had learned all that while I was in New York City. Mm-hmm. So I felt like all of the things that I learned being a social media blogger, now all those tools and experiences helped me when I decided I wanted to be an artist, which is also like a startup. And being an artist, you're an entrepreneur. So I guess that's how I could kind of credit the beginnings. Like I wasn't like totally clueless. I was like, I know what to do.
I love that. Yeah. And then how did you silence the voice of comparison, of being afraid of what others would say and really being so strong-minded in your own passion? Because as an artist, I'm sure there will be moments where that voice will creep up. So tell me about how do you battle with that? And if it comes up, and what do you do?
That is a very good, interesting question. I feel like it's a little hard to explain because it almost felt like a flip of a switch, like something in my brain wiring just switched where it was like, it's just different now. And maybe it's because I've matured. But I also like to think that earlier on when I was singing covers of other artists, those artists have songs written for them that complement their voices. Mm-hmm. And they're written in a key that complements that key and that range of that artist. They're written in a style that complements that artist. So like it's tailored for that artist, and you can't expect to be able to sing every single song because every voice is different. And it wasn't until, and so that's why I was never like, ah, it's just not the same as Amy Winehouse. It's just not right. The same as Alicia Keys, like Beyonce. But it's like, then when I started writing my own music, it was like my voice was like in the pocket. It was like, this sounds so good because it's written for me, for my voice and my character traits and my range and what I'm comfortable with, like with my melodies. And so all of a sudden I was very proud of my work, and it was like original and it was unique to me. And also I think that the passion behind it, where I was just kind of like, I'm doing this for me, was so strong that I just didn't care.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I was just like, nothing's going to stop me because I want to do it so bad, you know?
No, it's amazing. I mean, I think it is part of growing up and seeing things in a different perspective. I read a study the other day that so many people who are older, they did a study on like people in their deathbeds, and like, not to make this all morbid, but like the biggest regret is the fact that they didn't follow their dreams and they were like living their life for others. And like, if there is one thing they could do differently is like live for themselves. And I feel like that's what you're doing. And it's like inspiring. So I love it. I'm curious to hear about your creative process though. Do you ever experience an artist rut, and what do you do? Like, I don't know, cause I don't know any of it about that world. Like, just tell me about the process from like writing a song. How do you create the album, the names, all of it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let me shed some light on that. I have not experienced a creative rut so far.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I think that because I'm so new, I have so many things to say. I have so many messages I want to share. Also, it's funny because like I ran into someone recently and they're like, oh, you write your own songs. I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, you're so young. It's like, do you even have anything to write about? And I'm just like, you'd be surprised. I just like, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know what I mean? Like in my life, in my family's life, in my close friend's life, that's very impactful in the world. And so also I'm just very in touch with my emotions. So, and every time that I'm songwriting, it's usually to like cope through some emotion.
Right.
And so that's kind of my therapy. So yeah, and also I think I'm very good at creating space for inspiration, where I'm very in tune, like you can't just be go all the time. Like you have to mindfully think, okay, like I'm gonna take this inspiration trip. So like I recently went and did a pilgrimage in the north of Spain called Camino de Santiago, and it was 6 weeks of walking. And during that time, I wrote so many songs.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'd say that my strength, I usually write songs a cappella. Like I don't have an instrument with me when I'm thinking of songs. They kind of just like pop in my head, which is crazy. And then I'll like voice note them. And then from there, I'll like come up with chords to complement. And then I'll like hit up a producer. And then I like explain my vision for the instrumentation, and we come up with the arrangements, and I have like ideas in my head. And I'm like, I just try to explain them to my producer. And then we kind of we just experiment like a recipe, and then it just kind of happens. Of course, with the influences of whoever I'm partnering with, the collaborations, and just it births something so beautiful and unique. And sometimes I don't even know what to expect. It's like, how will this even come out? It's like even a surprise to me sometimes.
What was your first single?
My first single was Memories.
Do you remember the, okay, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Oh, and that's the one that was dedicated to my dad, that launched my career.
Yes. So you remember the moment when you clicked the button? I mean, if it was clicking a button to just like release it, like where were you? Who were you with? What went to your mind? Did you black out? Like what happened?
I guess, you know, that's funny is that like, so there's a click of a button. It's like upload. And it's like, now it's going to take like 7 to 10 days for it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, just like waiting. And then like, you'll get an email being like, oh, it's live on this platform. And then like, there's like such a long process to it. And then after that, like, for example, if I'm planning a release, say like the end of July, typically like upload it like a month in advance. So it's kind of like a long time waiting. And then, but the day that it releases is always crazy to me. Like the day, it's like my birthday, I swear to God. I'm just like, oh! And I'm like,
I know, it must be so exciting.
Yeah. Everyone's like, happy release day. And like, if someone doesn't say happy release day, I'm like, you know, it's release day.
I love it. And then I know you've been performing live. That's so exciting. Tell me about your first concert.
So due to the pandemic, I wasn't able to perform live for a while, and I did like a virtual concert, which was very cool, where I was like singing and playing piano a cappella. And then as soon as like the world opened up, I was like, okay, I got to get out there. So I just started performing live this year in 2020, and I've been playing in New York City, at Rockwood Music Hall was my first acoustic show. And then I had my first non-acoustic show at Arlene's Grocery in the Lower East Side.
Oh my God, amazing. I grew up there.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So much fun. Cause I was thinking to myself, I need to perform live ASAP so I can figure out if I even like performing live. Mm. Like growing up, I would do like talent shows and all those kinds of things. So like, I love the stage, but it had just been a while. Mm-hmm. And of course, the second I got on stage, I was like, this is my house. Like,
yeah. Well, I want more. Yeah.
I was thriving. I was like, wow, like I'm in euphoria when I'm on stage. So I got to keep this up. Mm-hmm. But I have exciting news. I was just booked for a show at Mercury Lounge.
Where is that?
Coming up. It's on East Houston and Essex, I believe. So okay. I don't even know if that's Lower East Side or East.
It LA. Is. I think so. Yeah. And yeah. What date?
June 27th. So on a Monday in like 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Perfect. I'm going to put that in my calendar.
Yeah.
I would love to see.
I'm opening for Shuba, who's an international American Indian artist. And I'm so excited to have the opportunity to open for her. So yes, please come. It'll be so much fun.
That'll be fun. Yeah. Well, yeah, we are wrapping up, and my podcast is called The City Confessions. So I would love to ask Marilyn if you can share a confession with all of us. And this can be personal or professional, and it's just like a good way to wrap up the episode. And you don't know this, but you are my last guest for season 7, so way to end with a bang. But yeah, no pressure. It's whatever you're comfortable sharing. If you can share a confession, what would that be?
Oh wow, city confessions. Okay, so I do recall you kind of asking me about like one of the most challenging things. Mm-hmm. So I guess that one of my confessions here would be that one of the most challenging things is funding. Like being being an independent artist in our day and age is like a startup company. However, about funding, like I believe in myself so much so that my confession is that I pulled my retirement savings to fund my career because that's how much I believe in myself.
And there's no shame about that. And I love that. Yeah. You know what I always, because I feel like you're pretty spiritual, maybe. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of spiritual vibes. I mean, yeah, but
for sure. Definitely.
Yes. Spiritual. So I like to manifest. I talk to the universe. Even when you were saying like, you know, life, the universe has your back. Life is always working for you. Like, I truly believe that. But I realized that sometimes when you embody it and you say it and you visualize it, the universe will then test you, right? And it'll give you like an obstacle or whatever. And that's your opportunity to like reveal if you truly believe that the universe has your back, if you truly believe that abundance is everywhere. So I think by you, you know, taking fun out of your retirement to fund your, you know, career path, it's also saying like, I truly do believe in myself. Because any doubt that you have, it's reaffirming that either you're not ready for that path or that you still need work to do on yourself. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And it's like, it must be so scary, but at the same time, so rewarding.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I read this quote on your website, like, do something that scares you every day.
Yeah.
So exactly. Like, it was freaking scary, but I did it. And I was just like, I'm all in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's the fun part. It's like, do something that scares you every day because it's like worth, it makes life exciting.
Yeah. And I feel like you have to be your number one cheerleader. Like, oh, you have to. You have to set the tone for yourself, you know, and for others around you. So I love it. Okay. Now I just have one more fast fire round of New York City questions, because of course we have to bring it back to New York. So I'll ask 5 questions and you can answer with the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay. Fun.
Okay. If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Energy.
Favorite thing about the city?
Fashion.
Least favorite thing?
Smelly.
If you can go, if you have a favorite restaurant or go-to spot?
Oh, yeah. Scar's Pizza on the Lower East Side.
You know, I still haven't tried it. Is it like the best pizza in New York?
Yeah. And I've been like day one, like years and years ago. And when it was just like, no one knew about it. And now there's like a line for
it. I know.
Running out. And I'm just like, no, everyone knows about it.
I need to try it. And then if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Oh, I would thank New York City for giving me tough skin.
Yes, I'm here for it. I'm so excited. I know you already plugged away, but just tell the audience one more time where you are performing and where they can find you.
Absolutely. So I will be performing at Mercury Lounge in the Lower East Side of New York City, June 27th. I'd love to see everyone there. And again, my name is Marilyn Huchek, and you can find me at Marilyn Huchek everywhere on all social handles.
I love it. And of course, if you're watching this or hearing this, I will have all of Marilyn's information in the description. So be sure to expand on that. And with that being said, thank you so, so much for being my last guest on season 7. I hope you all have a beautiful day and enjoy this episode, and stay tuned for next week's, which will be a solo one to fully wrap it up. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.
Bye.
Bye.